Hey, everybody, happy Monday, Ask Me Anything episode, where we get questions. Can Blake name all the Mexican provinces or states? It's pretty remarkable. We also talk about the road to 270 electoral votes. We also take questions about IVF, best ways to get involved. Email us, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com, and become a member today at members.charliekirk.com. That is members.charliekirk.com. Email us, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com, and get involved with Turning Point USA at tpusa.com. That is tpusa.com. Start a high school or college chapter today at tpusa.com. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Noble Gold Investments is the official gold sponsor of the Charlie Kirk Show, a company that specializes in gold IRAs and physical delivery of precious metals. Learn how you could protect your wealth with Noble Gold Investments at NobleGoldInvestments.com. That is NobleGoldInvestments.com. It's where I buy all of my gold. Go to NobleGoldInvestments.com. So if you are a member at members.charliekirk.com, you're able to ask us a question directly. And let's get to this one right here. Charlie, I'm a member here. Email is freedom. Also, if you're a member, you can email us freedom@charliekirk.com. There's also, we set up a special line just for our members to be able to ask us questions live on air. This one here, Charlie, I don't quite understand. Can you please walk through the electoral math one more time? Can't Maine also respond to Nebraska? How did these rules change? And are you trying to tell me every state can just change how they appropriate or allocate their electoral votes? This is Mark from New Mexico. Love the show. Praying for you. Blake, why don't you talk about, you know, let's break that apart.
Great. Yeah. So, biggest picture, there are 538 electoral votes. They maybe heard of 538. That's what the name comes from. And to be elected president, you need at least half a majority of those electoral votes. It's not whoever gets the most. You need a majority. 270. So there's a website you can go to if you want to check this. 270 to win. 2702win.com.
Which just gamifies it almost.
It's like a game. You can mess around with it, make weird maps, see what's possible. But if you go to 270 to win, you'll find if you look at the Electoral College map that most states have voted for the same guy every election the last 40 years. California's always going to be blue. Alabama's always going to be red. That sort of thing. So there's about 10 states that are seriously up for grabs.
Yes.
So 2020 election. Set all fraud stuff aside. What the result ended up being was Donald Trump lost the Rust Belt states of Pennsylvania, Michigan, Wisconsin back to Biden. He also lost Georgia and he lost Arizona. So he lost these five states and that cost him the election. And then he also lost Nebraska's second district, which he had won in 2016.
And Obama won it in 08.
Yes. So Nebraska and Maine, only two states that do this, they allocate their electoral votes by congressional district. So no other states do this, just those two. And what that means is you get two votes for winning the whole state and then each individual district that you win.
Mm-hmm.
So Maine, for example, both elections, Trump lost the state, but he won the second district, which is the northern, more rural part of the state. And so he got one electoral vote there. So the way the math works out in this election, and this wasn't quite the case in the last election because some electoral votes have moved around due to the census.
Yeah, this is a census-driven thing.
Yes, the census. So, for example, Montana used to be worth 3. Now it's worth 4.
Illinois lost a vote.
Texas gained.
It's kind of
it's
this perfect storm that all of a sudden all eyes on this one seat in Nebraska.
Exactly. And so to repeat the specific math, a very plausible outcome right now, because the polls say we're leading these three states. The polls say Trump is leading in Arizona, which he lost in 2020. It says he's leading in Georgia, which he lost in 2020. And the polls currently say he's leading in Nevada, which we lost in both 2016 and 2020. But, there's been this Hispanic shift towards the right, and so it's much more viable. And So the polls say we're up in those states and that the Rust Belt states that we lost in 2020, those are tougher. Those, Biden's maybe a bit ahead, or it's about evenly matched, or we're narrowly ahead. It's easier to lose those states. So the three easiest pickups, according to the polls, are Arizona, Georgia, Nevada. Under the current law, if that is what we get, and if Biden still holds Omaha, we would lose 270 to 268. Biden would get exactly the number of electoral votes he needs to become president.
280.
If we were to change this law, so Nebraska is winner take all, and Trump will win Nebraska, that's not in doubt, it would be a 269 to 269 tie. If no one wins, it goes to the House. The House will vote as state delegations, so the one person in Wyoming has just as much importance as all 50-odd people in California.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, we have 26 state delegations in the House. We might get Alaska back in this fall's election. That would get us to 27. And just, we're unlikely to lose that majority, I would say.
For example, there's South Dakota, North Dakota.
Yeah.
And we're at 26 even with New York being not great for us right now.
Yeah, and but we don't have a majority in New York. So if we lose House seats in New York, we might lose the House, but it doesn't change the state map.
That's what's key. Yes.
And so he mentioned Maine. Can they change that? Yes, they could. Maine could change it.
However, now, some breaking news.
Breaking news. Semaphore.com. We encourage you guys to check it out. Dave Weigel.
Dave Weigel's been doing a great job.
Yeah, he was
on
a former top guy at the Washington Post for politics reporting. Very serious guy.
I've done interviews with him for a while. He always treats me really well.
Yeah, he's a very good reporter, and he's been all over this story for us. Well, I don't want to say for us. He's not doing stuff on our behalf, but he's been covering this a lot. And he highlighted in the Bangor Daily News, that's a newspaper in Maine, reporter Billy Coben has been talking to Maine legislators. You know, do you guys want to change this? And he interviewed, this is a Democrat, Representative Laura Supica is a Democrat. And she says she opposes changing Maine's system. She likes the way they do it. Maine does have a lot of these blue dog Democrats, maybe more moderate Democrats, Democrats who don't want to be bossed around. So they might not be able to change it. And this is getting really wild, too. Let's say both Nebraska and Maine changed it. Both states let you do signature petition drives to challenge laws that get passed by the legislature. And if you get enough signatures, you can delay the law's implementation until there's a referendum. We checked the math. It is a lot easier to get a Maine one on the ballot than a Nebraska one.
Big
in
time.
Maine, you need 10% of people who voted in the last governor's election. So that's maybe, you know, 60,000. only about 50% of voters turn out for an off-year election like theirs. And so it's like 60,000 votes. In Nebraska, you need 10%
of registered,
of all registered
voters.
Which would
be 90,000 signatures.
Yes. And so more people, and you have, I think in both states, you have 90 days to do it. So that's surprisingly short. People who have done petition drives, it's harder to get these done than you'd think.
Yes.
And
big,
so,
especially Nebraska.
We really want to emphasize this is a thing that Nebraska can do. It meaningfully improves our odds of winning the presidential election. And
also, we have breaking news today, thanks to Dave Weigel's reporting, that they are now saying Maine won't counter.
So, or at least there's obstacles to Maine countering it. Their legislature's closer than Nebraska's is. So, you know, 5-10 Democrats think, no, we don't want to do this. We like our system. It might not happen.
It is really a remarkable thing. And so we're hoping that the governor of Nebraska will act.
Yeah, we think
call a special session.
He can call a special session, and I see no reason that they would be unable to do this other than just a lack of will.
Or that there might be some backlash, but you live in Nebraska.
I think it's not even just backlash. I think there's, you know, conservatives by disposition. We like things as they are or as they were, and change can be difficult, but I think there's sort of a fear of the unknown that's in play here. Like, if we do this, we haven't done it before, what could happen? And the truth is, we don't know entirely what will happen. But what we do know is there's a huge advantage to be gained, and you can't refuse a huge political advantage that could be of existential importance to the United States of America.
That's correct.
Because you're worried something might happen.
This is actually an existential threat.
Yes!
Not just some sort of...
As we said yesterday, this might be the most important thing these legislators are involved in their lives.
That's right. After a long day, no one wants to spend an hour in the kitchen making dinner. Well, how about quick and easy barbecue? No, not takeout. I'm talking juicy steaks, succulent chicken or fish, and healthy grilled veggies cooked on your own Solaire infrared gas grill. Solaire grills are the hot, fast grills that heat up to 1,000 degrees in just 3 minutes, even in the dead of winter. And that heat locks in juices and flavors and grills your food faster. A veteran-owned, multi-generational family business, each Solaire grill is made in America out of quality commercial-grade stainless steel. It may be the last grill you'll ever need to buy. It's an incredible product. Visit besthotgrill.com, that is besthotgrill.com, for their free guide on how to choose the right infrared grill for apartment balconies to backyard entertainment areas. That is besthotgrill.com. With a hot, fast Solaire infrared gas grill, you'll want to grill every day. Get your free guide at besthotgrill.com. That is besthotgrill.com. We have Kimberly, who is a member. Kimberly, thank you for being a member. Members.charliekirk.com. What is your question? What is on your mind? Happy Friday.
Hi. Yeah, so I'm wondering, I have a question about IVF, the in vitro fertilization, and the issue around that. So I think you and I both agree that life starts at conception, correct?
Of course, yes.
Right. So, but the problem is, so I've been praying about this as well as just thinking about it more. Just because that you have a sperm and an egg that have cells that have both combined, right? I don't actually think that that's conception. And I'd just like you to think about this maybe as a thought crime, because a sperm and an egg cell could combine in a test tube, and that's not conception. That group of cells, a transgender person, male, could take and try and, you know, insert it in their vaginoplasty, right? Mm-hmm. That's not going to take. That's not a viable, like, embryo fetus. It could also, you know, the cells combine like that all the time, and an unviable uterus it doesn't attach to it, and it therefore doesn't become a viable fetus.
Yeah, I
therefore
see what you're saying.
Like a conception by God.
What you're saying, so what you're saying is that it's not conception until it attaches to the uterine wall. Is that what part of what you're saying is that?
Yeah.
Okay, I haven't thought that deeply about it. I'm going to give you a Ketanji Brown Jackson answer. I'm not a biologist. I'm kidding. I'd have to think about that more deeply. But what I'm guessing, and I just want your opinion, Kimberly. Do you tend to be pro IVF? Is that and by the way, that's perfectly fine. I did a whole show on it. Is that your perspective on it, that there's no contradictions between IVF and a pro-life position?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I actually didn't even have an opinion until I heard about this from Alabama and your podcast, and I had to think and pray about it because I didn't know, you know. And yeah, I don't think that there should be any problem with between pro-life and IVF if you use that as like a biology definition, and it really would have to, for me, to do when God comes into the conception, right? Is like, this is now going to be a baby housed in a woman's uterus to then develop as a fetus from there, you know, day two.
Very interesting. Kimberly, thank you for being a member. Really appreciate it. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks. Bye.
All right. Who do you have next? Joshua. Joshua, here we are. Thank you for being a member. I think Joshua means redeemer. Because it's Yeshua.
Yes.
Yeshua, right? Yeah. There you are, yes. Joshua. I think it means redeemer, right? In Hebrew, if not mistaken.
Yes, it does. I'm grateful my parents named me that. Well, first of all, Charlie, I just wanted to say thank you so much for the work that you're doing. And God used you to inspire me in a great way. One particular way is how instead of going to college like most of the rest of the world does, you decided to devote yourself to books and to other things like that, to grow in knowledge and to expand and to be able to go out and make an impact. And my question is, you know, there's so many books out there. How do you decide what you read and what you devote your time to? And then also, what books, obviously besides the Bible, have impacted you more than any others, I guess, particularly about early American history?
What a wonderful question. I'm also going to let Blake answer this as well. So how to choose books? That is a difficult question. I have like 400 unread books on my library shelves.
Oh, it's impossible.
No, it's just an, but by the way, I'm a big believer And Dennis Prager taught me this. In at the very least, having lots of books around your house, just looking at books, the statement that learning is important and reading is important. That's number one. Number two, I think you should try to carve out time to physically read a book every single day. You asked what books were most important in my life. I love The Book That Built Your World, incredibly important, by Vishal Mangalwaldi. That really does a lot to teach me about the Bible. In fact, it's being read right out there by one of our colleagues. I will point to you to a specific Bible commentary by John MacArthur on the Book of John if you want to get into that. As far as early American history, I mean, the Scots that built the modern world, what books would you point to?
I'd be a nerd, and I would say, like, Albion's Seed is good. Do you know about that one?
No, I don't know.
Albion's Seed is this thick, and it's about, like, the four different groups of Englishmen who came to America and the legacy they leave. So kind of modern libs are very much truly the descendants of Puritans who came from East Anglia, and then a lot of conservatives. We have the Scotch-Irish backcountry, you have the Cavaliers in Virginia, and then you have the Quakers, and those are the four groups that he profiles.
Just to kind of continue on that, I love anything by Thomas Sowell, Discrimination and Disparities. I think it's excellent. As far as early American history, I think it was Harry Jaffa who had a really, really good book on the American founding. Leo Strauss, I know, wrote really in deep. It was, I think it was Commentary on the American Founding, or How to Think About the American Revolution. I think that's what it's called. How to Think About the American, I want to see this, Revolution. Yeah, that's how it is. How to Think About the American Revolution by Harry Jaffa. It's excellent. Takes some work to get into it. But yeah.
It's harder, but you could do worse than, this primary doc, they're, the founding documents are written in English, not just the Constitution, but Federalist Papers.
Go to primary source documents. Yes.
Primary source documents can teach you so much because so many things are edited deliberately or just accidentally by scholars who come later. And when you really immerse yourself in the original stuff, you get a really great sense of what they worried about, what they cared about.
Yes. And I think that, you know, just Joshua, the other thing, just be a lifelong learner. If you find a topic that you really care about, try to constantly, you know, read books that are challenging you. And here's the other thing. I don't know, Blake, if you agree. If you're reading a book and you don't find it fulfilling and it's, like, really boring, it's okay to just, like, go to another book.
Yeah, yeah. Right? I had to teach myself this because I'm very much a finisher of things.
Yes, I'm the same way.
And I'll have these things. Yeah, and this book has 300 pages left. I'm getting nothing out of it. Either, you know, it's okay to skim books, too. That's a great talent I've realized is only half of this book is stuff that's interesting to me. I can skip over or skim
especially
some other parts
especially
of this.
If the book is about like a specific topic or like self-help, those are easier to skim, right?
Yeah,
where it's like, okay, because I'm big into like diet and all that
or
sort of
even
stuff. Yeah.
Even history. I went to Poland, as everyone learned last fall, and I got all these Polish history books. I didn't need to read about all the stuff, you know, after the Cold War, whatever. I don't care about what Poland was doing in the 90s, but I did love reading about Poland under communism. I felt I learned a lot from that.
Yeah, absolutely. And so, and finally, I also love Man's Search for Meaning by Viktor Frankl. It is powerful. Okay. It's amazing. I know I'm naming a lot. And Age of Entitlement by Christopher Caldwell, which is the most powerful critique of the civil rights era and act of anyone has written. It's just excellent. So hope that helps, Joshua.
Excellent. Thank you so much, Charlie, and keep up the good work.
God bless. Thank you. Let's get to another question here. Someone just emailed us, freedom@charliekirk.com. They said, Charlie, and they're a member. They said, Charlie, I have a question for Blake. Blake says that he can name all the Roman emperors, but can he name all the provinces of Germany?
Why Germany? Okay. All
right. It's rather random, right?
Yeah, that's a little straight. Okay, let me think. Okay, so Germany has a few cities. So they have Berlin, Hamburg, Bremen.
So those are all provinces?
They're all like province equivalents, city-states. It's like leftovers from the Holy Roman Empire. It's crazy. And then you'd have Brandenburg, Thuringia, West Pomerania, Saxony, Lower Saxony, Saxony-Anhalt. There's three Saxonies. North Rhine-Westphalia, Rhineland-Palatinate, Saarland, Bavaria, Baden-Württemberg, Hanover. Am I missing one? Hess?
I'm not fact-checking you.
I think Hesse is one.
I think that's all of them. Someone's asking you the provinces of Germany.
Schleswig-Holstein. Got to have Schleswig-Holstein. And I think that's all of them.
Wow. That is... That's kind of freakish. I'm not going to lie. That's really something. Ryan says, try playing a history game with him. It's nuts. I think I stumped you on like one biblical question of like all the ones. They said you could do Canada easily, right?
Oh, super easy.
Yeah.
Come on. Are you going to make me do it?
I think it's like Saskatchewan, Nova Scotia.
Yukon, Northwest Territories, Alberta. None of that. British Columbia, Alberta, Saskatchewan, Manitoba, Ontario, Quebec, New Brunswick, Nova Scotia, Prince Edward Island. Did I miss one? Newfoundland, Labrador.
Said the Yukon?
Yeah, I said Yukon right at the start.
Yeah.
I might have missed one somewhere.
And Northwest Territories, right?
Yeah, Northwest Territory, and then Nunavut, which is that Inuit sort of place. And I think I got all of them.
Very impressive. Everybody, if you want to ask questions.
If you want to quiz me, just send in quiz.
We could do the quiz. You know, you could bring Blake here. Someone just said, Adriana said, Blake is a beast. What he stores in his brain is unreal. No, I agree. And you got to keep Blake humble too, though. So you got to kind of just always ask him questions. But it's impressive. It's a superpower. You can do Mexico?
Yeah.
How many are there?
Oh, there's like 32, I think. You know, they're the United Mexican States, so they're like the United States of Mexico is actually their official name.
Is that right?
Yeah.
The world is in flames, and Bidenomics is a complete and total disaster. But it can't and won't ruin my day. Why? Because I start my day with a hot America First cup of Blackout Coffee. It's 100% America and 0% grift. Blackout Coffee is 100% committed to conservative values. From sourcing the beans to the roasting process, customer support, and shipping, they embody true American values and accept no compromise on taste or quality. Look, you got to check out right now blackoutcoffee.com/Charlie or use coupon code Charlie for 20% off your first order. That is blackoutcoffee.com/Charlie. Be awake, not woke. That's blackoutcoffee.com/Charlie. Check it out. Promo code Charlie. Okay, Blake. First of all, let's start with this question. Can we do more to get Mexico to secure the border?
Yeah, I think the most straightforward way of putting this is to remind people that if you aren't all psychologically messed up like they are in D.C., you can remember, wait a minute, America is a very powerful and rich country with a huge amount. And Mexico is, I mean, a weaker country, a poor country, one that is more dependent on us. A large part of their economy is people who have moved to the United States, work there, send money home or travel home and all of that. And, okay, so to be blunt, if Mexico is letting a really bad thing happen to us, we can say no.
We also can just tell them what to do.
Yeah, and I don't want to say, like, Mexico is a fake country, but they are another country. And if we're supposed to, like, sell out the country to fight against Russia or something, why can't we do the bare minimum of, Mexico, secure the border, or there will be consequences. We will restrict your imports here. We will restrict remittances to you.
Yes, which
we
is
will
a huge
put
part
special
of
taxes on you. You can do things like that, and countries respond to incentives. And, you know, Mexico does stuff to try to secure their border with Guatemala. They don't like having this sort of thing happen either. And we can have some sympathy for them. They obviously have a lot of problems with a million migrants on their side of the border. And you want to offer a hand for collaboration, but especially when the president of Mexico is essentially trying to like threaten and blackmail the United States into not doing anything, you have to like raise an eyebrow and say like, no, you're full of crap. And that is what we could do if we had the will. We were talking about today. It's all about the will to do it. The reason this doesn't happen is because half of Washington wants the border to be open.
All right. So now we got to get to it. Every province of Mexico.
So it's the states of Mexico, the United Mexican States. So let's start from the bottom. You'd be in the Yucatan, Quintana Roo, Campeche, Chiapas, Tabasco, Veracruz, Oaxaca. That's like the southern part of Mexico.
So there's a state of Tabasco?
Yes, Tabasco. Tabasco State. It's where there's a great novel where they had a communist takeover to Tabasco and they were like shooting priests and stuff. It was really crazy. Mexico province around Mexico City, Puebla, Hidalgo, Morelos, Guerrero, Colima, Jalisco, Nayarit, Querétaro, Nuevo León, Tamaulipas, Coahuila, Sonora, Sinaloa, Chihuahua, Baja California, Baja California Sur. I'm missing a few of these. I like just like they're floating around. But I hopped around a bit too much. So like, which ones did I skip over?
Did you say Zacatecas?
Zacatecas.
Did you say that one or no?
I didn't. Aguascalientes. That's like the most religious part of Mexico, apparently. It's like Mexicans
I'll
joke
let,
about
I'll
it.
Let you check your work as we get here to Michael. Blake, you failed.
Of course.
I'm kidding. I could name one. All right, Michael, we are here. Members.charliekirk.com. Michael, what's on your mind?
Afternoon, gentlemen. So I'll make this as short as I possibly can. I already am giving to several people, as I said in the question. I'm in rural Indiana. It's about as blood red as you can get. Once we get out of the primary season, good luck to a Democrat. I have tried reaching out to Scott Pressler over Twitter. I've tried personally emailing the Republican parties of Wisconsin and Michigan. I'm not getting anywhere. Is there any plans for other large organizations to put together like deployments from red conservative areas that are around these battleground states to go boost numbers? Because I know the Democrats are doing it because I watched them do it.
The answer is yes, and we'd love to help you at Turning Point Action, and especially if you're in Indiana, Michigan is probably the easiest immediately to get you up to Michigan. Right now, though,
we can go anyway. I just name it. I've signed up Turning Point Action. Signed up for Scott Pressler.
Well, just so you know, the reason, and it's nothing against, you know, your enthusiasm, we're trying to first hire locals to hit their own towns and neighborhoods and then start to put together the deployment town. As you can probably understand, out-of-staters don't always resonate as much if you're trying to build those relationships, right?
Oh, absolutely.
So, yeah.
I figured I'd be helping in the back end somehow.
Love it.
If I win.
Well, stay in touch. Email me after this. We'd love to get you connected. And thank you so much. And also, our mobile application has the ability for you to make calls from across the country. So we're going to be rolling that out all summer. All right. Thank you. Really appreciate it.
I forgot Durango and Tlaxcala.
You will have to atone for such. All right. Matt is next. Matt, thank you for being a member. What's on your mind?
Hey, Charlie. A huge fan. Thank you for what you and your team do. My wife and I went out to the Dream City Church, Strong Church Conference.
Oh, great.
We had a
terrific
blast.
Praise God.
Flew out from New York State. So it was great to be in a red state full of conservatives surrounded by great people. But I also went to UB, University of Buffalo, on Wednesday with my daughter to see Frank Turek.
Oh, yeah.
And I remember seeing him on the promos for the Dream City Church, Strong Church Conference. And when we were out there, my wife and I were like, I don't remember seeing him. Did something happen and he couldn't show?
No, I think he was there.
Was he on a panel? Like,
I don't know.
Remind me.
I'd have to find out, but no, he was definitely there. So yeah.
That's funny. Yeah. He had a great presentation and love what you're doing. So I lived in Colorado for 20 years. I'm having a hard time supporting the Nebraska Cornhuskers right now. But of course, they're in the Big Ten.
You gotta be cheering for Nebraska. We're all cheering for Nebraska right now.
I'm cheering for Nebraska. I'm a Buckeye, so now they're in my conference again. So I got to tell you, I'm having a hard time cheering for them. But we are all in on Nebraska. So thank you for you're doing.
I got to ask you, Matt, what did you like most about the Strong Church TPUSA Faith event? What was the greatest takeaway from your time there?
Honestly, I work for a church full time, and I'm executive director for a great church here in Olean, New York. And honestly, it was just great being around. It was the energy. It was the energy. Young energy, old energy, just the energy and the focus for driving forward and getting the truth preached in churches. And I have to tell you, it was just a great energy. Everybody we met was just full of excitement and full of hope. Obviously, showing a letter to the American church was huge. We're set up right now to do the same at our church here in a month or so. So we came away with just a full notebook of things to do for our church. We just can't thank you enough for putting that together and all your energy going into that.
Of course. Well, really praise God that you found it great. We also have the Believer Summit coming up in July in Florida. Love to have you there. I think it's going to be worthwhile. So, all right. God bless
Love
you,
it.
Man. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Let's get to a question here from one of our people, individuals here. They say, Charlie, what do you think Vivek's role should be in this upcoming election? You know, and that's from Gwen. My opinion, and I said this before, I think Vivek is able to accelerate some of these trends we've seen with young male voters in a really powerful way. I think Vivek should be one of the surrogates for the Trump campaign. Do you think if he was spokesperson for the Trump campaign, what do you think?
Like a press secretary?
Or like just spokesman, Trump campaign. I mean, he's so sharp. He's so smooth.
He's very sharp. He has that excellent Trump combativeness of just not getting shoved around, not getting beaten up. I think it'd be a reasonable choice.
For some sort of...
I'd almost say like the only reason you wouldn't want him just as a spokesman is I think there is a lot of energy. We could have this guy in the cabinet.
Yeah, in some way. I'd like to test him out maybe as chief of staff or something. Or
yeah, or chief of staff. DHS. Or run, DHS, like fix the border. Like I think that is the sort of problem where...
He could build a political career. Right?
Yeah, exactly. You know, build your brand out of that if you want to say it that way. But he clearly has a lot of energy, has a lot of... He appeals to a lot of new... Yeah, a lot of spark. And people love that. They've always loved that with the Trump campaign from the start, of the sense that there's... That it is a powerful movement that doesn't take crap from all the people that they dislike. And Vivek drives that. You know, there's all these people who would come out and say, Vivek, he said this wild thing. Oh, can you believe that he said that? Well, yeah, a lot of people can believe he say that, and they agree with it. And the more you drive, the more you give that energy to the campaign, the more you're copying 2016, which is a campaign we won.
Everybody, email us your thoughts, freedom@charliekirk.com. If you are a member, you get priority. Let's go to the next question. Joni. Joni, thank you for being a member. What is on your mind?
Hi, Charlie. I live in Dana Point, Orange County, California. And I want to know, how can we get Steve Garvey elected as U.S. Senator? And then how do we get Mike Levin out of the U.S. Congress District 49?
Well, I love the question. I think you guys should fight as hard as you can for Steve Garvey. But I want to make sure you know that's a long haul. Just because of how many registered Democrats there are in California, especially in a presidential year. But as far as the congressional one, that is a great focus of time, especially in District 49. And look, you have to organize with your local church. It's one of the Orange County targets that we're looking at, as you well know, you being in Dana Point. And look, I'd love to see Garvey shock the world. California is a long-term project. California has some of the greatest patriots in the country. I love the energy of California conservatives. And I think the world of what, you know, the remnant in California is fighting for, and it's not easy. So I'll be visiting frequently, but, you know, maybe we'll shock the world. So thank you, Joni. I appreciate it.
Yeah. So churches to get involved in Calvary South OC.
Yeah.
John
No, I don't know about them, but Calvary Chapel, San Juan Capistrano, which is right near you. John Randall's church is a great place. I think that is that's a great place to get involved. Not far from where you live.
Yeah, that's where I attended on Easter Sunday.
Perfect. Go there, get involved. And we'd also love to get you plugged in with Turning Point as well. So.
And how do I do that?
If you email me after, we'll get you connected with our team, our Turning Point Action team, and we'd love to get you involved. So
I'd love to be involved. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Joni. God bless you. Thank you.
You too. Bye-bye.
Hey, everybody. Charlie Kirk here. As you know, Mike Lindell has a passion to help you get the best sleep of your life. After he invented the world's best pillow, he created the famous Giza Dream Sheets. They are the best sheets you'll ever sleep on. The best night's sleep just got even better. For a limited time, you'll get a queen size set for $59.98, king size, which is $69.98, the lowest prices in history. Mike and the MyPillow employees continue to be canceled by big box stores and attacked by the media. They appreciate all of your great support during these times and want to thank you for giving you free shipping on your entire order today. To get the best specials ever, go to MyPillow.com or call 800-875-0425 and use promo code Kirk. You get the famous Giza Dream Sheets, queen size for $59.98 and king size for $69.98. You also get 60% off the original My Slippers. So call 800-875-0425 or go to MyPillow.com, promo code Kirk, for free shipping today. That is MyPillow.com, promo code Kirk. So call 800-875-0425, MyPillow.com, promo code Kirk.
In the heartland of America, where the sun sets on the plains, there's a state called Nebraska, where a change is long overdue. We've been splitting our votes, torn apart by our choice, but it's time to come together.
We're going to play that next week at the event. Rejoice.
It's a great song. AI is changing the world.
It's called Unify and Win.
Yep.
Right? Or Winner Take All, I think is the name of the song.
Can
we play a little bit more of that? I think it's a new country song called Winner Take All. Let's play a little more.
In the heartland of America, where the sun sets on the plains, there's a state called Nebraska, where a change is long overdue.
Change is long overdue.
Splitting our votes.
Torn
apart by our choice, But it's time to come together.
Time
let
to come
our voices
together.
Rejoice.
And let our voices rejoice.
No more dividing lines. No more electoral divide.
No more electoral divide.
We need a winner take all.
We need a winner take all.
Our pride. Every vote should count. Every voice should be heard. Let's unite as one. Let's spread the word. Nebraska, rise above the fray. Switch to winner take all. Let democracy have its say. From Omaha to Lincoln, Kearney to Scottsbluff, let's make a change for the better. It's time to switch it up.
It's time to switch it up.
You know, the best part is the AI added those the cities on its own. Like, AI knows how to be corny without you needing to tell it to be.
Corny.
Yeah.
Fell into that one, Blake. All right, let's get to the next question here. Veronica, by the way, we're going to tweet out that video, a video of like B-roll of Nebraska stuff and that, and we're going to send it to every lawmaker and be like, listen to this. Veronica, thank you for being a supporter, a member. What is on your mind? Happy Friday.
Happy Friday. Can you hear me okay?
I can, yes.
Oh my gosh. So this is my first time I ever gone to. Thank you for allowing me to speak in. This is my first time as a member. I signed up as a member for that Tucker Carlson when you were speaking to him for that private event at AmFest. So that was really nice. And I did wanted to mention, I hope that you can come back to California again for a Turning Point Faith tour kind of event. You spoke at Destiny Church last year. And it was one of the best events. It was a packed house.
Well, thank you. I remember that. That was really fun. So I will be back for sure. And I really like Greg Farrington. He's terrific. It's awesome. So, well, and so what part of California are you in?
I live in Marysville, which is just 30 minutes from Sacramento.
I love it. So, so any question you want to ask or anything on your mind this wonderful Friday?
I don't have any other questions, but just motivation and encouragement because God is good. Just doing what you're doing. And thank you, Charlie, for everything that you're helping out with. Of course, you're the main founder of Turning Point, so you're doing that as well. So that's a big thing. And I'm just really happy for what's happening with 2024 right now. A lot of good, great things are happening in California.
Well, God bless you, and thank you for your amazing support and being a member. God bless. Thank you.
God bless. Thank you so much.
Okay, we only have a couple minutes here, and so let's I don't know if we have time to get to another one. So everyone, become members at members.charliekirk.com. Let's end with this question, actually. There's one from Randall. Charlie, any big plans for the solar eclipse?
Charlie doesn't care about the solar eclipse.
I couldn't care less.
Like, he's always facing directly forward.
That's
at the
right.
Future.
Exactly.
He cannot be bothered to stare up at celestial phenomenon.
Literally, this is a true story. Mikey put on my calendar in all caps eclipse, and I said, "Mikey, this is during my show. Why do I? What is eclipse? I didn't know what it meant. Like, what is this?
He's
like,
"What is an eclipse?
I know what that is.
Bring in a science man to explain this.
So I guess I have to step out during the show and look at the darn thing. Blake, you're like traveling the world.
Oh yeah, I'm going to Austin. Although I'm looking. It looks like I'm hosed. The weather reports are coming in, and we might have 90% cloud cover in Austin. So naturally, I picked the sunniest part of the U.S. to visit, and so I guess El Nino is going on or something. So all the weather's inverted, and so it's not looking good. But we're gonna brave it. And so
Daisy said that her husband and the whole family they're going out for the solar eclipse in Texas.
Yeah, I mean, is it
really this transformational?
There's only one every like few decades on average.
But there was one in 2017.
Yeah, but there's not going to be another for 20 years.
Okay, well, I'm told there'll be a partial eclipse.
Partial eclipses are lame.
So here's the thing. Ryan will film me doing the Trump thing with the glasses, looking up, and then
you're not
going to
see anything. It's going to be like 70% cover. The sun's so bright, you don't really notice unless it's 100% covered.
All right, we got a partial one right outside here.
You just don't get it, Charlie.
I don't get it. Email us freedom@charliekirk.com. We will let's just play the Nebraska music as an outro here. We just got to play the Nebraska music. I love that song. And I don't even like country. I love that song. It's a beautiful thing. God bless you guys.
In the heartland of America, where the sun sets
Shabbat
on
shalom.
There's a state
winner
called Nebraska,
take
where
all.
A change is long overdue. We've been splitting our votes, torn apart by our choice. But it's time to come together and let our voices rejoice. No more dividing lines, no more electoral divide. We need a winner take all for the good of our pride. Every vote should count, every voice should be heard. Let's unite as one, let's spread the word. Nebraska, rise above the fray. Switch to winner take all and let democracy have its say. From Omaha to Lincoln, Kearney to Scottsbluff, let's make a change for the better. It's time to switch it up.
Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Email us as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Thanks so much for listening, and God bless.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.